Thank you very much, Jean, and good morning. Let's just pray, shall we? Dear Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for a time of celebration and welcome. Thank you also for a season of looking forward and getting ready. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us now as we think and reflect on your word. Please, would you speak to each one of us? Would you open our minds and open our hearts to what you want to do amongst us this morning? Amen. I love new things. I love fresh starts, new projects, novel ideas. Usually enjoy a change of circumstances. Now that depends a little bit. I like to look at how things are at the moment and imagine how they might be. And I have over the years been involved in a couple of building projects. So designing and building a big extension to a family home a number of years ago. And refurbishing a very run-down house and garden more recently. This picture is just for illustration purposes. It's neither of those projects. It involves a bit of imagination to start projects like that. Also a commitment to see them through to completion. You mustn't get too discouraged by red tape or when you're knee-high in mud or surrounded by rubble. You need to have what you could describe as a prophetic perspective, being able to see the future through the confusion of the present, to be reminded of your plans and just to keep going. And you need to constantly remind yourself in the midst of the work that the journey is not the destination. It is about a work in progress. And that's, of course, true for most, if not all, creative disciplines. And I use the word discipline deliberately. Artists, woodturners, gardeners, novelists, potters. They all need to see where they're headed, not lose heart when they find themselves surrounded by all the paraphernalia and mess that is a necessary part of their art. My youngest daughter, Imogen, is not worried about the messiness of work in progress. She really loves to get stuck in, literally. Stuck into cooking, and she probably sees the end result as a bit of a bonus, to be honest. The process itself is what she enjoys. But the reality is, there is a recipe. There is a plan. There is a cake to be made, and ultimately eaten. There is a project to be finished. The Apostle Paul is convinced, and so should we be, that God is a completer finisher. He writes, "I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ." He who began a good work will surely finish it. God doesn't start something that he's not going to finish. He doesn't leave a cake half-baked. Or a portrait half painted. He doesn't leave any of us hanging. We are each, though, a work in progress. I think one of our problems is our inability to see and appreciate that. That's because as humans we have a limited perspective, don't we? We have finite mental capacities, limited experience, spiritual insensitivity, or even blindness. But God, through his prophets, including the last of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, who we were just hearing about. And of course through Jesus himself, who was also a prophet, much more than that, but a prophet. So God, through his prophets, shows us the things that we need to see. And he tells us about the things we need to know. Prophets are those who speak for God, who have the word of the Lord, who bring God's heavenly perspective to bear in the world and on our lives. They are like those who have a bird's eye view of the confusing maze that we sometimes find ourselves in, seeing the layout where we can only see the hedges around us. Into our situations, they bring God's encouragement, his comfort sometimes, his challenge and his direction. But even a prophet does not see everything. Each of the prophets in the Old Testament lived in a particular time, a particular context. They had a special message for a particular group of people. They had a God-given, but still a limited perspective. And there's much in their prophecies that can be confusing to us. One key thing to be aware of is the fact that the prophets of the Old Testament didn't always distinguish or necessarily see that there was a difference between the first and second coming of the Messiah. It was as if they were standing in the foothills of a great mountain range. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but when you stand there, looking into the range itself, looking into the future, as it were, you can often see the peaks of various mountains, but it's very difficult to work out where they are in relation to one another, how far apart they are, or whether even they're separate at all. God's people were looking forward to the arrival of God's promised king, the son of David, the Messiah. They were looking forward to the time when God's kingdom would be brought to earth. And the Jews are still waiting for that day. They're waiting for that promised age. But Christians believe that Jesus of Nazareth is that king, that he did arrive 2,000 years ago to begin the work of establishing the kingdom, and that he will return to bring that work to completion. And now we live in the time between his first and his second comings. It's an overlap of the ages when the kingdom of God is taking hold and growing. Living as we do between the two comings of Christ, Advent is therefore a time not just of looking forward, looking back to the first coming of Christ and preparing for Christmas, as it were, but also looking forward and preparing for the second coming of Christ. The overlap of the ages is a time both of now, but also of not yet. Do you see, we're still part of the old age, the age of sin and death, of suffering and frustration. But we're also, by faith, able to enter into the promised new age, the age of God's kingdom, the age where we can know full healing, where there will be no more suffering or death, the age when God dwells with his people. And that age began with the first coming of Christ, and it will reach its completion, its perfection, on his return. The central message of Jesus, if you read through the Gospels, was the kingdom of God. He goes on and on about it. It's the same message as John the Baptist. He speaks about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. He spoke of it as being at hand, within reach. He described it in terms of a growing plant or a crop, or of yeast that is put into a batch of dough and works its way through, causing those amazing changes that we see in bread. And the kingdom of God, and every subject of that kingdom, is like a rising loaf, a work in progress. This age is an age of overlap. It is the age of the church. It is a time of sowing and harvesting. It is a time of the gospel going out into the world, of individuals coming to faith, of lives and communities being transformed by the love of God. Life in the overlap age is an age of is a life of change and a life of growth. It is about individuals growing and maturing in faith. As Paul says in his letter, it's about people overflowing with love and knowledge and insight until they produce a harvest of righteousness. Elsewhere, that process of growth and change and maturity is called sanctification. Sanctification is like the present tense of salvation. Justification is what happens when we first put our faith in Jesus, we're made right with God. Glorification in the future is when we are to be fully conformed to Christ. And for now, we are in that process of growth and sanctification. We, with the whole of creation, are part of a great work of restoration and healing, a work that Jesus came to bring about. So when we're tempted to become frustrated by the messiness of our lives, we must remember that God has not finished with us yet. We are still under the surgeon's knife, still in the classroom. We are a work in progress. When we can't make sense of the way things seem to be, we must remember that we're still en route. We have not reached the destination. When we become impatient with others, we need to remember that God has a plan for them too, which he is working out in his own good time. You see, we're all works in progress. And God will complete his work of making the crooked straight, the rough smooth, causing people to overflow with love and knowledge and insight, producing by the day of Christ's return that harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. We and the world about us are a work in progress, and we can be confident that the one who began a good work among us will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.